This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV.
Father, we thank you that we can bring our hearts to you. You know all things, and nothing is impossible for you. Yet your desire is that we come to you. Spirit and truth with thanksgiving in our hearts. And you respond to us because you love us. Not because we are perfect, but because you are perfect. Thank you, God, that we can come in our brokenness to you and know that you always receive us. You always hear us, and your heart is always towards us. God, I pray that you will answer the prayers your children this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. We are still continuing on God's blueprint for church, discovering God's heart for church. What is God's heart for church? And I think most of the time when we think of church, or should I say most of the time when we think of salvation, we don't always think of church. Most of the times when we think of salvation, we think of ourselves and our redemption, our own salvation, and our own relationship with God. And salvation definitely has real application to us as individuals. We all need to be saved. And salvation is a very personal relationship from God's side towards us and our response to Him. But when God thinks of salvation, He thinks of more than just us as individuals. He thinks of us together as the church. Salvation for God is not just about Andres being saved. It is about the church being saved. It's about all the believers coming together as one. That's God's heart. That's the purpose of salvation, not just for the individual. And in the West, we have made it all about the individual. But God's heart is more than just the individual. It's about all the believers together. It's about the church. In Ephesians 5, we see that as much as God is working in us as individuals, He is also working in the church. So here in Ephesians 5, from verse 25, we read, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." And here we see that salvation is not just for the individual, it is for the church. And God's work is not just in us as individuals, but it's also in us as a church. God's heart is that what we do together might reflect who He is. So it's so powerful that one of the analogies that God uses to describe the church is the body of Christ. And I'm always mindful of that introduction in John where the apostle writes that what we have heard of past, the glory of God was manifested to us, and we have seen and touched Him in the flesh. We have seen and touched Jesus in the flesh. We have touched His body. And now that Jesus has gone back to the Father, He says, "Now you are the body of Christ. You are my flesh. You are my hands. You are my feet. You are my smile. You are my eyes. You are my love towards this world. Together." God's heart is that we do not just come together as individuals, but that we come together as church, the body of Christ. It's not just a gathering together, and we shared about it a couple of weeks ago. The body of Christ is not just us as individual members being different, coming together. God's heart for us is not just to come together, but actually that we should function together, to have purpose together. Because if we simply come together for the sake of coming together, that does not form a body. But it's when we come together as individuals in our specific God-given gifts and start to function in those purposes, not independently, but interdependently as one, that God's heart for the church is fulfilled. It's that we must function together, not just be together. The one cannot say, because I'm an eye, I have no need of the ear. Or if I'm not an ear, I'm not part of the body, but we actually need each other. God's heart for church. The body of Christ is not just a gathering of believers. God's heart for church is not just that we come together on a Sunday. God's heart for church is that each one of us start to function in the gift that He has given us interdependently, together as one. That's God's heart, that we start to function as a body. And that body has a purpose. That's God's heart for church. It's not just a Sunday meeting. It's a purpose together. As a matter of fact, the Greek word and an understanding of ecclesia, the word that we use for church, is being called out to come together for a specific purpose. Ecclesia, what was when the elders were called out of their homes to gather together at the gates of a city to discuss something specific. There was a purpose in being called out. There was a purpose for coming together. And so God has a purpose for church. And it's not just a gathering. It's beyond that. And so we started to explore this purpose. And this morning we're going to continue to explore this purpose. Here in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, we read, "For the grace of God that brings salvation, Jesus, has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works." God's heart for church. God's desire for church is that we should not just be individuals coming, but that we should be His own special people that are called out of the world to Himself. That we would be His own special people, called out of a crooked, sinful world to come to Him and to belong to Him, to be His own people in the midst of this world. And so we read here in Exodus 19, as God calls His people, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey My voice and keep My covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to Me above all people. For all the earth is Mine, and you shall be to Me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." And we know that the Old Testament is a metaphor, a shadow of the realities that are fulfilled in and through Christ. And so when we look at this metaphor of God speaking in the Old to Israel as His own special people, which they still are, they are also a reflection, a metaphor of who we have become today. For those who are in Christ, who have put our faith in Him and are born again to be His people. And so we see in the New Testament this metaphor continuing. In 1 Peter 2 verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people." So when we are born again as individuals, we don't stay individuals, but we become part of something greater than ourselves. And it's about this that I want to speak about this morning. This chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, God's heart for church. Being God's own special people, let us consider this for a moment. This metaphor that is repeated here in the New Testament. Firstly, a chosen generation. First thing that comes to mind is what we, a couple of years ago, started to speak about, the Joshua generation. We still remember that. The Joshua generation. A chosen generation. It refers to the metaphor where God came to Israel and he called them out of Egypt, out of slavery, which is a metaphor of our bondage to sin and this world. He called his people out to a promised land. And as he set them free and delivered them from the power of bondage, the power of sin, through baptism of the Red Sea, and they continued to the mountain to worship God and to move from that place to the promised land that God will give them by his hand, by his power, there was a generation that kept on longing for Egypt. A generation that kept up longing back for the world and the things of the world. A generation that kept on compromising. A generation that kept on testing God. And God said, I will choose a new generation. This generation will die in the desert. And I will raise up a new generation to inherit the land. God's heart for church is that we would be that generation. A chosen generation. To inherit the promised land, to take hold of, to conquer our inheritance. You see, the promised land was the inheritance of the people of God, and because some did not want it, God gave it to a different generation. God's heart for us is that we be a generation that not long for the world in die vleispotte in die wereld, but that we will long for his inheritance. What is our inheritance? It is the kingdom, not of Israel, but the kingdom of God. It is the kingdom of God. God is looking for church to be a generation that longs for his inheritance, which is the kingdom of God. So we need to ask ourselves this question. How do we take possession of this inheritance that God has called us to? The second aspect is this concept of being a royal priesthood. It's very powerful. In the Old Testament, the priesthood was restricted and reserved for those qualified descendants of Aaron. Not anybody could be a priest. Only the Levites, only those who were chosen and qualified in the descendancy of Aaron could actually act as a priest. So the Levites were set apart for the service of God, and God says, but I want church to be a royal priesthood. You see, the Levites and the priest had distinctive activities that they had to perform that was different to the rest of the nation. They were separated for the service of God to offer sacrifices and intercession to God on behalf of the people of God, and to keep God's house in order. But now through Jesus Christ, every born again believer has been made a priest before God. Through Jesus Christ, every born again believer is made a priest before God. We are all kings and priests in and through Christ Jesus. You've all been made a royal priesthood because you are now a child of God. And not just in his royal family, but you have become a priest. This means that all believers, all of us, have direct access to God, unlike the past where only the priest could enter into the presence of God. Now every one of us, because we have become a priesthood, a royal priesthood before God, each and every one of us have access to God. We also all are under the obligation to live a life holy in honor of God, just like the priests. It's not just something we have access to, it's a life that we've been called to. And also all believers, we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. That is the role of a priest. To serve God, to set an example, and to live for God. So what are those spiritual sacrifices, you may ask? Well, Romans 12 from verse 1 speaks about this. It says that these spiritual sacrifices is being a living sacrifice and living a life of holy obedience to God and non-conformity to this world, to be separate and and to live differently. And so we read in Romans chapter 12 from verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. You see, it is through our obedience to God and our non-conformity to the world that through our lives we will prove to the world that God's will is perfect and good and acceptable. That's part of our spiritual sacrifice that we give to God. The next aspect is the fact that we have become a holy nation. Not just to live pure and righteously and godly, but that we have become a nation. God's desire for us is not just to be holy individuals. God's desire for us is to be a holy nation. A nation speaks about a collective. It's not just about my life being right before God and an example in this world, a light in the midst of the darkness. No, God's heart for church is not just for us to be holy individuals, but for us to be a holy nation, a collective. A nation is not about the individual. It is about the collective. And so God's heart for us is not just about me, myself and I, my calling, my purpose, my destiny. It's about our calling. It's about our destiny. It's about our purpose. That's God's heart for church, to be a holy nation. And again, we have this concept of coming together, not being individuals with a calling and a purpose all on our own out there, but to be part of God's nation, which is a collective. Salvation is not just about the individual. It is about the individual belonging to something greater. A collective, a nation. God says, I want you to function as a nation. God's heart for church, us together, is to be different to the rest of the world. I want you to be different to the rest. You've got the world and its ways, and then you've got my people and their ways, my ways. That's God's heart for us as church. Titus chapter 2 from verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearance of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he may redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. There's something about God's heart for us, redeeming us from this world to bring us together as his own special people, that we would be zealous for good works, that we will be eager, that we will be longing for, available for, and willing to do his works. Not just because we are different, but because we are doing different. Being zealous for good works. God does not just want the church to be different to the world. He wants us to do different to the world. He's called us out of the world. As he called Israel out of all the nations. And he said, these are my decrees. These are my ways. I want you to follow them because I want you to be different. I want you to come out from amongst them and be different. And so God calls us, the church, out of the world, to be different to the world, but to live differently, to do differently. Therefore, when we come together as church, we need to ask ourselves, we need to ask this question, what do we do together? What do we do together as a collective, not as individuals, but what do we do different together that impact the world around us? What do we do together? What do we do together that impact the community around us? Because God's heart for church is not just that we come together on a Sunday. but that we function together. So church is more than just a gathering on a Sunday. It's more than individuals coming to worship God and to receive from God. No, it's about individuals coming together with their different giftings, interdependently one of another, for a purpose. And that's God's heart, that we would be a collective, different to the world, but doing different to the world, that we may be a witness in the world. So one of the challenging questions I believe God is laying on my heart for us as a church is that we need to ask ourselves, when we come together, what do we do together that impacts the community around us? In 1 Peter 2 verse 9, we said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. God's heart for us is that through our conduct and our good works, we will bring glory to His name. As a church, not just as individuals, but as a church. So when we come together as church, which is more than a Sunday, what do we do together that impact our world around us? That's God's heart for us. Firstly, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim His praises of Him who called you out of the darkness into the marvelous light. I think one of the first things that helps us to answer this question is that together we need to proclaim His praises. God's heart is that when we come together, we reflect who He is in the midst of this world. How do we come together and reflect who He is? It's through the love we have for one another. It's also through the different gifts coming together and functioning together to do these two things. First and foremost, to proclaim the praises of Him who saved us out of darkness into the light. So one of the things God desires for us to do together, not just as individuals, is to proclaim the gospel. It's the purpose of the body. It's to advance the kingdom. How do we advance the kingdom? Well, God in His wisdom has decided that through the preaching of the gospel, man will be saved. And it's through the salvation of man that the kingdom of God advances. So one of the things God desires for us to do together is to proclaim His praises. Not just amongst ourselves, but in this world. Because if you're saved, how many times does you get saved again? The kingdom doesn't advance through preaching the gospel to believers. And as powerful as it is what we are doing today, we are not preaching to the world. We're not taking our light into the darkness. If anything, we have it under this building. Nobody sees it out there except ourselves. So how do we proclaim Jesus, the gospel, together? How do we do this together? Secondly, it speaks of having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God. There's two things there. And the first thing is, one of the questions we need to ask ourselves, when we come together as a collective, what are the good works that we do together, not as individuals, but together, that the world observes? What are we doing together as a church that the world sees, that brings glory to God? What are those things that we do? We need to ask these questions, because this whole journey has been discovering God's heart, asking God, what is your heart? What is your idea for church? And do we have the faith and the boldness to put aside our understanding, our expectation, and our comfort zones of church and conform to what God wants us to be? His body, this broken will. Therefore, in light of God's heart for church, not just as individuals, but us coming together and functioning together as a collective, I want us all to put our faith together and ask God, because I am not the church. You are the church. We together are the church. This is a journey. It's not just a personal journey. It's a journey for us together. I want to encourage you. Let us together ask God, as we continue to ask Him to show us our own individual gifts and our own plot and purpose within the larger body, whether we an eye or nose, let us not just ask God what I am and where do I fit and how do I function. Let us ask God, God, what do you want us to do in this community together? I'm sharing this with you this morning so that you have an understanding where I believe God is taking us for the rest of the year. Is that we would start together, not just as individuals, proclaim the gospel and do good works that honor God in our community. But not just as a group of five or six people coming together out of the body, not just a couple of us doing an outreach or a couple of us serving in the community, but for us as a church, what do we do together that glorify God? You know, as those occasions from time to time, you remember when we have a baptism and we cancel the service on short notice and we all go down to the old harbor, remember those times? When there's like 200 people at the old harbor being witness to a baptism, you know what it does in the community? The difference between 200 people together and 20 people, there's something powerful that happens that reflects God's heart for us. What do we do together? And I want to ask you, as we continue to explore what is our individual gift and our purpose within this congregation, that we will ask God, God, show us, what do you want us to do together? And I want to invite you to share that with us, to come to me, write me a WhatsApp or an email or make an appointment and share with me what you believe God is laying on your heart for us as a church. Because that's where God wants us to go. I don't have the answers and I can't say that we will do everything that everybody feels we should do, but we will pray through everything. And we will start somewhere. And I know not everything is going to be your cup of tea. Not everything is going to be your comfort zone or your gifting. And that's why we're going to do some things in smaller groups. We're going to do some things in your small groups. We're going to do some things in smaller teams. But there are going to be times that we would want everybody to be together in doing the same thing together with our different giftings. So there are going to be times that there's going to be smaller teams doing certain things. But there are also going to be times that we're going to ask you, as a church, can we do this together? And I don't know what it is yet, but I know this is where God wants us to go. And there's going to be times that we're not just going to do stuff together as a congregation, but we're going to do stuff together as the church in Hermanus. Like in the past, remember when there was that day of prayer and all the churches came together? That's powerful. That's God's heart. So this is kind of a heads up. Where are we going during the year? They're going to be God-inspired vision, instruction, purpose coming from the church, coming from you as God speaks to you about His heart for us as a church. We're going to pray that through and we're going to start implementing whatever that is. It's a blank page. I don't know. And we might start small and grow, but I want to invite you, when we do, join the body. Join the body. Bring your part. Especially when we all come together. to do something. I want to really encourage you that you understand why we're doing this. We're not doing this because we want to prove anything. We are doing this because God wants us to be together and function together. So I want to ask the ushers to hand out the communion as we consider this. God's heart for us as church is not just that we come together, but that we function together in our conduct, our good works, and in our mission. I'll read Titus chapter 2 again. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearance of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he may redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. I pray that we will all become zealous for good works in Christ Jesus. Then when we have an opportunity as a church that we may come together to glorify God. And this is the thing. This is the thing. The purpose of coming together is not to make a point, but it's to glorify God. It is to glorify God. It is to say, God, we want to be the church you want us to be. And so we're going to do community outreaches or community projects. We're going to do together, sometimes in teams and sometimes as the church. We're going to do stuff together in the community. Not to exalt the congregation's name, Shofar's name, but to exalt God's name. And through coming together to inspire the other parts of the body in this community to do the same. And then there's going to be times that we, as a congregation, do stuff together with other congregations to glorify God. And it's not just going to be a select few, but it's going to be all of us together. So I'm inviting you to pray with us so that God may speak to us. So I ask, please join us. Be part of the body. Add yourself to us so that together, we may glorify God. Imagine in the future, we will not just do projects with all of us on a Saturday morning, but we'll start to do projects and outreaches with the other churches in this community together. That when we have an outreach in our community, it won't just be a select 15 or 10 people, but it will be 300 people. And when we go and we serve the community in whichever way we serve the community, it won't be just a handful of people. It will be 300 people. And imagine that grows, that it's not just one church, but two churches, three churches, four churches. Imagine we start coming together, all the churches, to serve God together. How much glory will it bring to God? Isn't that God's heart for us? Not just to come together on a Sunday, but to start to function together with a purpose. Church is not the end goal of the kingdom. No, the kingdom is the end goal of the church. That's where we're going. We want to see the kingdom advance beyond us. We want to see the lost saved. We want to be a witness. We want to be a city on a hill that cannot be hidden, that can be seen clearly, that these people are different. We don't like them, but we cannot deny that they are different and they are good people. They bring joy, they bring blessing, they make a difference. It's like that question someone once asked, if you were to take the church out of the community, would the community miss the church? We want to become the church that the community will miss if we're no longer here. That's God's heart for us. So that we may draw the world to who God is, because they can see God in and through us. Amen? Amen. Let us consider that. Let us consider not just our own gift, but let us ask God to show us what does He want us to do together in the community. As we do outreach, as we serve the community. Can we do that? Has everybody received the cup? Did we miss anybody with a cup? If you can just raise your hand if you still need a cup. Do everybody have bread? Anybody miss bread? Everybody got bread? Just waiting for those who still need a cup. Let's wait for one another. And let's share together that what the Lord gave us. Communion. Coming together. Not just with Him, but with one another. It's so powerful. It brings us back to what church is all about. It's about Jesus. It's about His love for us, His sacrifice for us, His life for us. So let's take a moment. Let's consider our role, our heart, our expectation of church. Let us consider this morning not just to come together on a Sunday, but let us consider to be part of something bigger than a Sunday service. Whatever that may be, let's just consider that. Let's just take a moment. In your own time, just between you and the Lord, just speak to Him. Father, I thank You for Your love for us, Your grace towards us, that while we were still sinners and enemies and powerless to save ourselves, You gave Your Son to redeem us, to cleanse us, to set us free, so that whosoever believes in You will not perish but have everlasting life. Thank You for the price that You have paid, the cost it took for my sin and the sins of the world. But I thank You, God, that Your body was broken so that we can be one. So that we can be one in and through You. And as You prayed that final prayer, that is Your desire, that we might be one as You are one. God, I pray this morning that as we eat together, that Holy Spirit, that You will supernaturally, that You will bind us together, Lord, that You will bind us together, Lord, that we will be one as You are one with the Father, that we may be one with You and one with one another. That is Your heart, that is Your desire, God. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that as we partake of this bread, Your body, Lord, that we will be part of this body, interdependently upon one another, that we will be part of Your body, Lord. It is so powerful this morning as we partake of communion again and remind ourselves of Your heart for us. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You will come supernaturally and do and bind in us to be one as You are one. We thank You for this as we eat together in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank You for this cup. It is the seal of the new covenant. It is our redemption. It is our life. It was given to save us, yes. But it has a greater purpose than us, than myself. Its purpose is to see more of the lost being saved. It's Your heart. It's Your desire. God, I pray as we drink this cup, Lord, that this heart, this desire for the lost will become ours. that we will become co-laborers with you in this harvest field, that we may share in the glory when you return. God, I pray that as we take this cup to ourselves and embrace the salvation that you have given us, that we will be willing to share it with others so that you may be glorified and your desires may be fulfilled. As ours are being fulfilled in Christ, Lord, let you use us to satisfy your desire in others, to share your love, your grace, your gospel with this world. We thank you for this as we drink together in Jesus' name. If your eyes are closed, if you are here this morning and you are not sure of your salvation, you are not sure of your relationship with God, you're not sure whether you are in one with Him, I want to give you an opportunity this morning to settle that in your heart, in your mind, by responding to the gospel of God's love, His grace, His mercy, His kingdom and His inheritance. It's all in Jesus. And all you need to do is you need to bow your knee before Him. You need to acknowledge Him as King and follow Him. And as you do, He will redeem you. He will wash you. He will make you new. He will call you His own. And He will pour His Spirit within you. And you will know for sure that you belong to Him. And nothing will be able to separate you from His love. If there's anyone here this morning that are not sure and you want to make a commitment, I want to give you an opportunity while all the eyes are closed just to raise your hand and say, God, here I am, Lord. I want to surrender my life to you. Is there anyone here this morning? Just raise your hand. God, I want to thank you. Thank you for that hand. You can drop that hand. Thank you. Is there anyone else? God, I want to thank you that this is the reason. This is the reason you came to this world, is to save us as individuals, because you love us for who we are. But you've called us to something greater. Lord, I thank you for that heart this morning. Father, I thank you that as she bows her knee before you and confesses you as Lord and surrender her life to you, Lord, I thank you that you wash her, you redeem her, Lord. You claim her as your own, and nothing will be able to separate her from you, but that you've called her to something greater than her own salvation. Thank you for this, Lord. I pray that you will bless her in your church and through your church, and that you will use her mightily, Father, as she discovers a gift and your Spirit dwells within her. Father, that you will train her and equip her to become the woman you desire her to be. In you, fearless, overcoming the world and everything in it, because you have done it for her. I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. We're going to stand. We're going to end up in one song.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.